House District 49A. Representative Heather Edelson has got enough to join us to talk about, as the Assistant Majority Leader, the agenda for this upcoming year, things you got done last year, and redistricting. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Great to be on, Matt.
Well, thank you. And you were voting. What can you tell me what bill you were voting on just now?
Well, we had some really exciting ones on adding city council members and Mora. But we did actually have one of the Crown Act we just passed today, which is really exciting, is no discrimination against hair. And so very exciting. And that passed with bipartisan support. I was just texting the author, Representative Abaje. Congratulations.
Well, that's wonderful. I did not hear about that. That is absolutely, you cannot discriminate because of hair. And this is something that has been going on, that it's been an ugly truth, an ugly reality that's now being addressed. I congratulate you. That's absolutely a fantastic bill.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's exciting.
I'll start off with what I've talked to with all the Democrats of the day as they come on. Let's talk redistricting really quick here, because your district really did take some big changes. Are you going to be in 50, is it 50A or 46B? I'm not quite sure which one is going to be the district, because your district kind of got pulled apart into two different ones.
Yes. I think, Matt, you and everybody else is like, what district am I in? First of all, people usually don't know what number they're in anyways, because I don't know. I'll be 50A, which will be about 75% of Edina, and then I gained some businesses and a lot of businesses in Bloomington and a small residential area over there. So I'm excited.
Well, and it's a sign once again. I mean, the metro area is growing, and that's just what happens when redistricting. You got a growing area. These districts, to a point, shrink. Cheryl Youakims is my house rep. The northern part, the north and northwestern part of Edina, will get a fantastic rep if she goes back into St. Paul. It's there, but this is kind of an unfortunate thing, because Edina really was its own district for a while, for the most part, correct?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, pretty much I had 90% of Edina. Representative Elkins, before redistricting, had a small piece, but I would always fight with him and say, you know, let me be clear that I'm Edina's rep. Now it's, you know, Cheryl Youakim does have, she'll have about a quarter of Edina. So yeah, it's hard to, you know, redistricting is challenging. You know, you get really used to the areas that you door knock and the people. But the reality is, at the end of the day, I think any state representative will tell you that if somebody calls your office, you're like, you're going to help them if they're from your district or if they, you know, with an issue.
Your plan is you are running again for 58, right?
I am. I'm running for a re-election. It'll be my third term.
Well, and I'm glad. I mean, Melissa Franson losing her as the Senate minority leader, because she was redistricted in with Ron Latz in that district, you know, it's a terrible loss. And just, you know, I've also talked to John Marty and Isaacson, who are in the same district, a few other cases. You know, it's tough. This is the other side of it, where you have, you know, two people who are kind of beloved politicians now have to face off with each other. I'm glad, because I don't think you're going to be challenging anyone new there in 50A. But let's face it, you're a pretty sensational representative. So I think that's a win-win across the board.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, I'll take those compliments. Yeah, you know, with Melissa Franz, Senator Franz, it is actually, she's a friend. You know, I posted about this. You know, so oftentimes when you're at the state legislature, you're there for long hours. You can work. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of negotiation. But at the end of the day, you gain really good friendships with people, because you kind of get rid of all the superficial stuff. And you're just trying to, like, how are you going to get the deal done for your community? Mm-hmm. And so Senator Franzen and I, she's a good friend. I'm actually having a glass of wine with her tonight. And we're going to celebrate her. She's an amazing person, an amazing representative, our state senator for our community. And she'll be missed in politics. I don't think we've seen the last of her yet, though.
I don't think so either. But raise a glass for me tonight for her, because she is pretty sensational. It is also, too, one of the things that is kind of interesting about your district. I have been doing this radio show just here at AM 950 for 12 years. When I started doing this district, you are in one of the most hotly contested districts in the state. I mean, Republicans threw a ton of money to basically try to win Edina, because they felt it was old money and they wanted to be the representative. if I'm not mistaken, last election cycle, now we don't take anything for granted here, but last election cycle, the Republicans didn't even run a candidate against you in that race. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know. It was almost like the Twilight Zone. I was like, wait, where's the person that's running it? Because I flipped a seat from, it was a Republican to a, and then we flipped it to a Democrat seat. And yeah, I didn't have an opponent, which I will tell you, everybody at the Capitol is always like, I can't. There's a lot of resentment. You know, there was an article today in the Star Tribune about how people love to hate Edina. And I don't think that helps the case at all that I didn't have an opponent. So, yeah.
Well, I graduated to Edina 1986. Thank you very much. Yeah, although they're not nearly as proud about that. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm wear and tear on me. But at the same time, no, it's interesting because this is not just Edina. Bloomington, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka. These districts were all toss-up districts 12 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, I do enjoy the fact you beat Dario and Selma. I mean, my God, that was delightful. But you basically have seen these districts become sacrificed because the Republicans, their message is just so icky, especially when it was back to, hating gay rights, fighting against, the poor, trying to, the things that they were pushing, which were just, counterproductive for most of the people in these districts. And there just was something that they just couldn't get on. Now they really have somewhat moved away from this. I'm not saying that they won't challenge you because I'll tell you what, they'll come after Edina. They want that district. But I think it does show that their message has aged badly here in the metro area and bases now nowhere near the Twin Cities metro.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's very true. And I think, voters now, I mean, when you look at what voters are caring about, people, they want people that are going to stand up on issues, social issues that are going to matter. Like nobody wants to go drive to a park and see that people are having housing. There's a housing crisis where people can't find a place to live and there's kids living in a park.
Yeah.
People want to invest in housing. They want to make sure that climate change, people are acknowledging that climate change is real. So yeah, you're right. The messages that we're hearing, sometimes are just, it's shocking. It's always shocking when I hear, there was a bill up in education policy talking about just educating young people about what's happening with climate change. It's a real thing. It is actually happening. And if we could start from the same baseline of fact, it's not really debatable. So it's what do we do about it?
Yep.
And I think we have we have a ways to go. But yeah, my hope is that we stay in control, at least in the
Representative Heather Ellison, District 49A, the Assistant Majority Leader. Do we lose her?
I'm here. I'm sorry.
No problem. Your committee assignments, education and policy, labor, industry, veterans and military affairs, finance and policy as a veteran. Thank you very much there. And public safety and criminal justice reform as well. Let's talk a little bit, Representative, about something that you did last year that you're really happy that got through the House and Senate.
Something I got through last year. I'm going to go with expanding access to the medical cannabis program. We added plants to the program.
Nice.
That was a bill that I added. So in the state of Minnesota, if you went and joined the medical cannabis program, you only could get like synthetic materials. You couldn't actually buy like just the plants that you would be able to vape or smoke. And you know what? You have so many patients that across the U.S. that are using this. It's a really great alternative to opioids. We have that. It's actually rolling out tomorrow. So
nice.
This March. I know. It's big. And then this year I have the enrollment fee is $200 right now. We are going to be decreasing that for all patients joining to $40. So, I mean, it's a really exciting way to really to fix our medical cannabis program in the state of Minnesota, make it more accessible. And we've done a lot of great work, so I'm excited about that.
When you look at the upcoming session here, is there any specific bills that, you've got, okay, I want these to be pushed through right now?
Oh, boy. I do have one on letters. I have a pretty big investment. So it's a literacy investment of about $33 million in literacy. I growing up, I had dyslexia. Two of my sons have dyslexia. I've really been active in literacy. And so I really want to see us make investments to improve our literacy rates in the state of Minnesota. They've been stagnant. And that's an area that I'm really I'm hoping we make progress on this session.
Well, and it's also an issue, by the way, I have dyslexia myself. It's something that you have to work through, and you know, if you have the investment there, you can help these kids get through this issue. It is a harder sell, though, in this day and age of glowing rectangles that every kid stares at, getting kids to read and stuff. I mean, it's one of those things where, I think that is such a base skill that does help. I mean, my kids reading as much as they did, there's a reason why they get really good grades. And I think a lot of it goes back to that reading. Starting reading, helping them get the comprehension, helping them work through any issues they have, I think that is so important.
Absolutely. And if you look at, say, just tying it to public safety, if you look at some of our incarcerated population, the rates of persons that are incarcerated that struggle with literacy are just, through the roof. And so you start looking at, if school's not working for you, then what? So some of it is just so much that if we just teach the right way, we used to, sight words or trying to teach, memorizing how to learn how to read. We don't need to do that anymore. That doesn't work. And there's phonics and, sounding words out. And that's what we need to do. And I think it really does touch on a lot of people's success in life. And so it will help people that are dyslexic or not dyslexic.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. I'm excited about it.
You're working with the Veterans and Military Affairs, Finance and Policy. Talk about, as I am a veteran, U.S. Army, and I would love to hear, is there anything on the horizon right now that you guys are working on?
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
There's a lot of great bills, I think, in the Veterans Committee. We do labor issues, too. I know there was... one bill, I have a Meals on Wheels, making sure that veterans have access to Meals on Wheels. I think the pandemic has showed us that, just making sure people have access to food keeps them in their home. That's a really important issue. Housing, we're dealing with a lot of veteran homelessness and trying to really solve on that. I give the governor a lot of props. His administration has been working really tough on that issue. And so I guess those are the two areas that I would highlight. Is just making sure access to food, housing, and also healthcare for veterans is so huge, right? And making sure there's the support networks and expanding mental health access and all of these great things to make sure that we're valuing these people that have sacrificed their lives for us. I mean, I think with what's happening in Ukraine right now, it is top of people's minds, just how, the ability to have your freedoms.
Yep, absolutely. No, and I think you just nailed it. It's kind of one of those things where we can't allow that to become the forgotten policy because of that issue, because of the fact that we've had a pandemic, we've had other issues going on. It still is top of mind, and there still is a lot of needs there. So I'm glad you guys are working on that. I would be remiss if I didn't mention we got a massive budget surplus right now. I know Republicans just want to give that away to massive tax breaks, but the reality is if there is a golden opportunity to fund some real programs across the board right now because of this budget surplus.
Absolutely. I mean, $9.25 billion is what the forecast, just the update from today was. $9.25 billion. What could we do with that? And of course, we are going to get a lot of people that just want tax cuts. And I'm not going to say that no tax cut at all will happen, but I really would love to see us invest. I think talking about housing, talking about climate and energy, talking about what are the costs if we don't invest. And we want to make, we have a labor force shortage. And some of that is, childcare costs. People have left the workforce, and most specifically, women have left the workforce because they can't get childcare. And so we have to start talking about these issues. I would like to see us improve immigration policy, but of course, we can't do that in Minnesota. We need our Congress and our Senate to do that in D.C. But all these things, I think it's a great opportunity for us to kind of holistically take an approach that will help our state thrive in the future.
100% agree with you, especially the daycare, because I think when you're looking at the labor shortage, that is a common answer, is that why am I working 40 hours just to hand a check over to a daycare provider? And so we need to get in there and make it more affordable, make it more accessible, and not make it an either or situation, whether or not you work 40 hours a week and have a kid in daycare or stay at home and just take no extra money and just watch your kid. I mean, I think that it does limit options for families, and I don't think that that's good for us.
Absolutely not. And I think the pandemic has, there's moments where we I think the pandemic has helped us slow down and truly look at what we value in our life. But it also, there are choices that we're having to make. I mean, you want to invest in your children and you want to be there. But we also know that childcare is massively expensive in the state of Minnesota. So how can we do a better job? I would love to see us pass paid family leave this year. Yeah. I mean, there's so many components to all the things that we have to do. But the other thing we have to think about is what's going to happen in terms of our baby boomer population retiring and then the smaller generations coming in. The populations are so much smaller. How are we going to care for the people that cared for us? Mm-hmm. So these are all big questions that we really have to be talking about. It's challenging.
Obviously you're going to have a campaign coming up here this fall. If people would like to help out your campaign, make a donation, volunteer, do some door knocking, where should people go find information about you?
Yes, heatheredelson.com. I have a website. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I would love the help. I very much think we try to make politics so complicated, but the reality is politics is about what's happening in people's lives. So everybody is welcome and would love to have people come and help door knock this summer.
I will make sure I put it out there a little bit later on so people can find your campaign. Representative, as always, an absolute pleasure chatting with you. All my best this session, and I hope to see you in St. Paul next year as well.
Thanks, Matt. Good to talk to you.